Bill Turney, USS Liberty survivor, head of the USS Liberty Association, joining us coming up. We'll continue with your calls after that, but right now let's go back to your calls. Scott in Texas, you'll be able to ask that question now because Phil's already on the line. He joins us in six after when stations join us. But I don't know the answer to your question. Your question is specifically, what did Egypt or Russia ever learn? What's the specifics of your question?
Well, specifically, whether or not any information gathered by the Liberty, it seemed like an LBJ thing to do. I remember the tenor of the time way back when to kind of the official, non-official support. Did any of the information, was it passed on to Egypt at the time?
All right. Thank you for the call. Well, we'll ask him. From what I was told by the survivors and the generals and the admirals and the judge advocate people, and I interviewed Admiral Moore, all of them before they died, that it was specifically to be blamed on Egypt and then somehow get the U.S. into the war, and they fought maybe even with Russia. But we'll ask Phil about that coming up. Let's go ahead, and who's been holding the longest here? Let's go ahead and talk to No Lock in Virginia, then Full Spectrum. No Lock, go ahead.
All right, so at best with this Iran deal, we're back to where we were to begin with, and except we're paying them money, hundreds of billions of dollars in reparations, what I've seen is correct. So in other words, the entire thing was pointless.
I don't think that's debatable. We're at a stalemate. Trump really wanted regime change. That failed. So now we're back to the old deal. Yes.
Correct. But do you remember they had pretty much all the pundits, there's this big revolution happening in Iran, and they have the Shorty Micro Mini Shah, the son of the Shah, was going to come in and take over. I remember him being interviewed on Patrick Bet David, and they were pumping this guy up. So I'm happy that we're getting a deal. But the fact that a client state can tell us and can start a war and can tell us and sabotage our deals, you could open the street right now. Right now, without paying a cent. All you got to do is Trump has to, and this is the best thing for Israel. The Netanyahu government, they can't be in power anymore. They have to go to jail, and we have to protect them. You make a deal with Russia, make a deal with China, that we're going to provide protection forever. We're going to allow the Jews to have a place to worship. We're going to allow the Christians and Muslims to live in peace, but they're too dangerous. And the fact that we have to keep going back to this Samson option, that's even tolerable. The fact that they're able to threaten us with that, that's the reason supposedly we're bombing Iran, is because they're going to get a nuclear weapon and then blackmail us or use it on us. And basically we're being told Israel has done it. And if that Jonathan Pollard interview is true and he's not embellishing, and who released the guy? Trump is the one that pardons that piece of crap. So,
well, listen, let me stop you because we're going to break here, but let me just be clear. Yes, I believe what Netanyahu has done and what they've done with their October 7th stand down and funding Hamas and funding al-Qaeda in Syria. He's a war criminal. He should go to prison. He's not going to go to prison. They're going to protect him. The U.S. is going to protect him. They got a bunch of nuclear weapons. They've said they'll use them if anybody tries to topple Israel. So just like we couldn't take down the mullahs, it wasn't going to work. Taking down Israel's, or the current leadership's not going to happen. And so just if we can get Israel not to blow up all their neighbors to restart the war, that is, I think, the best we can get. But I hear what you're saying, and I don't think Israel is going to let us in this war. I think it's going to continue. What do you think?
I actually see it the same way. Or it's become our new MO where we're snakes. And Matt Bracken has broken that down where nobody can negotiate with us in good faith because we sabotage.
That's right. And Israel is holding us hostage. It's out of control and trying to control our domestic policies. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
The InfoWar is not gone. It has been reborn. AlexJonesLive.com is the new site to find the next step in the InfoWar. articles, video reports, live streams, breaking news. It's all on AlexJonesLive.com. We need you to be the Paul Revere's and share the links. You can also find us on X at RealAlexJones and on Rumble at rumble.com/TheAlexJonesShowLive. And don't forget to download the app. Go to AlexJonesApp.com. The fight continues. If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
AlexJonesLive.com. We've only just begun to fight.
Discover trends and global developments years before they happen, right here on The Alex Jones Show.
That's what the world really doesn't know today, and I think that's why we were sworn to secrecy, is how close we really came to a potential nuclear holocaust.
You know how much press the nuclear warheads got when they landed in Cuba?
The step toward world thermonuclear war.
Well, this was 1,000 times worse, but nobody knows about it.
Another victim was the United States naval vessel Liberty. She was mistaken for an Egyptian vessel, and Israeli ships and planes torpedoed and strafed her.
The story of the Liberty is not a whodunit, it's the why did it.
The casualties were high, 34 American dead and 75 wounded. There were arguments later about how the error happened.
The reality of what happened is it was not a mistake, and they wanted to sink us, and what does that mean to this country?
Case closed, mistaken identity. We're very sorry. Is there anything else I can help you with?
Well, there's no question. It was a big cover-up from the top on down.
What did we do wrong? Why are we being labeled the bad guys and we can't talk about it?
For the next 40-plus years, I never said anything to anyone.
No. Never. I knew it would be the end of my career if I said anything. In the Naval Security Group, everything was secret. So just one additional secret you had to keep.
You just couldn't talk about it. It was such a secret, and with our lives threatened, and who knows if they were monitoring us or doing whatever.
You ever repeat one word about the USS Liberty and who did it to you, I guarantee I'll see you in Leavenworth or worse. You know what worse means?
When you're told by the President of the United States, Secretary of Defense, to keep your mouth shut, don't say anything, and that's a direct order.
Israel had America by the scruff of the neck. Such was the need to cover up what America had got up to during the Six-Day War.
His girlfriend from the Mossad told him that he could raise all kinds of money to continue the Vietnam War.
He had been contacted by a man with a hoarse voice who said that he'd been a pilot that attacked at Liberty, and suddenly he disappears. There's no record. You can only suspect that it was as he feared. They deported him, they turned him over to the Israelis, took him back to Israel, court-martialed him secretly, and maybe have executed him.
The Liberty is a microcosm of this much bigger problem in the Middle East. And Americans need to know what happened. The story has to be told.
And so that we were under attack by unknown jet aircraft.
They say get over it. You don't get over something like this. It haunts you.
The men would bring the body pieces up to me, and I tried to put them together to make a body out of them.
I don't know what the hell happened, and I haven't taken time to find out. I know nothing about it.
What I'm about to tell you is for your ears only. You are not to tell anyone during my lifetime.
I'm surprised I can even talk about that.
Never say it.
That type of whore your body is not going to remember. Your brain's not going to record it.
I think we sacrificed a lot of people for no good reason.
I have not said anything about the Liberty, period.
That's the Sacrificing Liberty documentary. Incredible. USSLiberty.org. We have Phil Turney. Phil Turney on X, philturney.com. He has his new book out, Stay Afloat, From That Day to Today. USS Liberty Survivor, U.S. Navy Veteran. And I've interviewed Phil quite a bit over the years. I've been on air 32 years, and immediately a few years getting on air, I learned about the Liberty and had a lot of folks on. And then back in the day when Newsmax was more hardcore, they had a bunch of people that worked for them, and they were just like, how would you like to have Admiral Moore, former chairman of Joint Chiefs of Staff, on? Sure. How would you? And then they were on about other topics and books they'd written, I guess Newsmax was pushing, but then they said, why don't I come back on about the Liberty? So what's crazy is we found some of those old interviews 25 years and back, but I got to interview the head judge advocate people, like most of the living ones. I got to interview the former chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff. I got to interview all these people, including people on the aircraft carriers that witness what you see out there. So for me, when I see the author of Stay Afloat, Phil Turney, you know, in Congress and bombshell, they turned back the planes twice and bombshell, LBJ was involved. It is a bombshell because people are learning about it for the first time. But for me, I don't even know how to address this because I know it was totally premeditated. They even had pilots that attacked the Liberty go public, you know, years ago in the Israeli papers. We know this was LBJ doing a Gulf of Tonkin 2.0. You can ask what the reasons were. Then some of the people that only care about bashing Israel get mad and say, why are you saying we were involved? That's a cover-up. No, that's what the survivors will tell you. It's what Admiral Moore told me. That's how we know it was totally staged. We don't know who cooked it up, the Israelis or LBJ first, but a couple of years before he got us in the Vietnam War with the Gulf of Tonkin that didn't happen. That was declassified 2004. So I'm going to try to just give Phil the floor here because he can go wherever he wants. Most of our listeners already know it was a staged event. My only big question is, where do we go now, 59 years later? It's got to be vindicating to see Congress starting to talk about it. And we know the Israel lobby is not happy about this. Israel is run by some of the very same type of folks now that are easily ready to do a false flag to play victim. We know they funded Hamas, stood down on October 7th, very sad for those that died. But we need to know about governments doing this, not just Israel. And, of course, 9/11 has Israel's fingerprints all over it as well. Netanyahu was in charge then. So Phil Turney, it just says his name twice on X, Phil Turney, and philturney.com, and the new book that I just started reading, Stay Afloat, From That Day to Today, and people can find that at philturney.com and more. And he wants to get into a bunch of topics. Was the USS Liberty clearly identified? The attack itself, communications jammed, life raft survived, and survival, rescue aircraft recall, the investigation, Captain Ward Boston affidavit, Admiral Thomas Moore findings, stay afloat, book investigation. And that's great to know what happened. I think we should spend some time on that, but also the motive and what needs to happen next. So as long as he apportions some time for that, we'll be very, very happy. So, sir, thanks for spending time with us today. It was great talking to you on Capitol Hill. And thank you for your service to this country, and thank you for your service exposing this great evil. Where would you like to begin, sir?
Well, thank you, Alex. I mean, what an honor to be with you. And thank you so much for remembering the crew of the USS Liberty for all these years and running down people you've talked to, like one of my dear friends, Admiral Moore, and so many more. But, yeah, the USS Liberty has been covered up for so long. And by who? Our own government. And they set us up in 1967, probably a year before, Alex. They attacked us. We were set up to go to the Med and to be sunk. Levy Eshkol and LBJ cooked up a plan to get us into the Med, and which we did do. And we always went to Africa, as was our steaming ports were, up and down the west coast of Africa, taking signals out of the sky like we were legally doing, and we ended up in Abidjan, Africa, and we were there about 3 or 4 hours, and he says, get underway, you're going to road to Spain, and we didn't know what for. So we took out of there as quickly as we could, got everybody back aboard, and that old Victory World War II ship was pushing as fast as you can, 18 knots. We took the governor's office. They wanted it. They wanted us in that area very quick. We picked up some Marines and some linguists, which two of the Marines were blown to bits by the torpedo, and several other CIA, NSA-type guys. Alan Blue was one of them. He worked for the NSA, very high level. The whole ship was high level. I mean, I wasn't a spy. I was in ship's company. But we all knew when we left Rota we were going to do a war zone, Alex. We asked for a destroyer escort. We were denied not once but twice. They said, you have nothing to worry about. You're going to the area. Your flag is your banner. That is your protection. If anything happens to you, we'll have aircraft in the air to help you immediately.
And that's why you flew an extra large flag. And I should have just been up front. You guys were one of the major spy ships in the Navy arsenal, and now the most decorated U.S. ship in U.S. history. So you're a well-known spy ship, which also goes to the preposterousness of the Israelis trying to claim you were somebody else's ship.
Absolutely. That was the whole plan. But you know what we did, what they couldn't figure out, and I still think they're scratching their heads. We took this two-hour attack with no help coming from our government, and they weren't supposed to come. LBGA called them back along with McNamara, and it continued. I mean, think about this attack. 2 hours of nothing but rockets, cannons, machine guns, napalm, torpedoes. And it was constant, and they were vicious, Alex. They were so vicious, they wanted us all dead. We put three life rafts over. There were only three left. They shot them out of the water. War crimes. We filed the war crimes report in 2005. It's never been even talked about it. They just threw it in a shit can and left us alone. So we're still alone, except for guys like you and the great Thomas Massey. God bless him for what he did. You know, he didn't have to do that, but he did. And I'm so appreciative of the whole crew is.
And it's important to add, this is basically an unarmed ship, and I don't mean to be blasphemous. Trump and other people, I'm not trying to bash Trump, but a lot of his cabinet, you're comparing him to Jesus. And the persecution he went through is as great as Jesus, or maybe more, some said. Well, you could compare this ship to Jesus being flogged and the crown of thorns and the side pierced. I mean, the torture this ship went under reminds me of how Jesus was tortured. And this was intense and long.
It was intense and long. And it was vicious. You know, and you bring up the Lord, Jesus Christ. He was our Savior. He's the one that held that ship together. Nobody else come to help us but Jesus Christ. We defeated the mighty IDF without firing a shot in this two-hour bloodbath. And our government set us up to sink to bring us into World War III on the side of Israel. There were nuclear aircraft in the air, Alex, ready to come and nuke Cairo.
Let's stop there, because that's where I wanted to go, and thank God you just did it. Nobody ever talks about why they wanted to do it, how it was meant to trigger World War III, how Egypt was connected in Russia. But take your time on that. We can go to the next hour if need be. Please continue.
Yes. Which we did not know, there was SAC aircraft in the air even before we got attacked, Alex, to bomb Cairo. And they were turned around at the last minute. The same thing, there were other nuclear aircraft on their way from, I believe, one of the America or the Saratoga.
And for folks that don't know, describe the war going on at this time, set up a long time. You're put as the sacrificial pawn. You later learn all of this. But explain, because people don't know this.
Well, what they don't know is, Alex, is the duplicity of our government then and today, nothing's changed. Nothing's changed. War after war after war for the Zionist state, and who pays for it? Those are very good photos, by the way. You can see what they did to us. But the wars have never changed, Alex, and I don't know how to explain it or how to make people understand how crooked our government is, beholden to the Zionist state. They're trying to torpedo the peace talks right now with Iran. You see what Israel's doing.
And they've said they are, but just to remind people, so there's this big war going in 67. You guys are deployed right for when it starts, and then you were meant to be sunk, and then from what I've been told, blamed on Egypt as a pretext to go to war with Egypt, and they thought Russia would come in and we'd be in a full war, correct?
Absolutely. You're absolutely correct on that. And us not sinking, Alex, saved millions of lives. Innocent people would have been slaughtered if we sank. And that was the whole plan. It was nothing but a land grab then, just like it is now.
Wow, how historic. And you were there. Please continue. There's so many places to go. Where should we go next with this?
Well, there's the El Quazir and there's the USS Liberty. And that's what they said we were, the El Quazir, an old horse transport that was docked in at some port half sunk. And that was the excuse. And we were told by our government to either accept that or end up in prison or worse. We just went through hell on earth, and our own government, Admiral Isaac Kidd, ordered us to shut up or we'd end up in jail or worse. And you could see the difference in the two ships. How could they mistake that? Well, that was just an excuse for a mistaken identity, and our government's still lying, and it's been lying forever.
For folks that don't know, most people know about the attack, but you guys all got threatened with prison or worse, meaning death if you didn't shut up. Then how did they end up having the inquiry? I know I interviewed some of the judges before, literally, I guess they all decided to go public right before they died. They all came on my show, and it seemed like a month later they'd all be dead. I had Admiral Moore on a few times, and then he died shortly after. I guess they were really spilling their guts there at the end. But these guys early on were heroes, I guess, internally. A lot of this came out on record that you learned a lot more on the naval inquiry. I think that might be important to tell folks about.
The naval inquiry, the 9th of June, we met up with the USS America and the ancillary ships, the Massey and the Davis. They came aboard and helped us with some damage control. They took off the wounded, the most seriously wounded. I was walking wounded. They took them to the America, and we were on our way to Malta with a 40 by 40 foot torpedo hole in our side. Admiral Isaac Kidd and Ward Boston came aboard our ship and interrogated us and read us the riot act. They didn't tell us, good job, good on you guys for staying afloat or nothing. It just, you better shut up. This is top secret. You will not tell anybody. But the point with Ward Boston, he had a declaration he put out before he died that him and Kidd knew was a pre-planned murderous attack. In fact, he called them murdering bastards in his declaration. And we turned that into a criminal court, too, and nothing's been done about it. We gave it to Tom Massey last week, a week ago today, and he put it into the record. And we're still treated like trash. In fact, the whole country's been treated like trash. When they attacked our ship, they didn't just attack us. They attacked every human being. They attacked you, Alex. They attacked everybody. And they're still doing it, and they're still getting by with it. So what are we going to do about it? I'd like to get a campaign going so fast, so far, that they cannot deny the truth. And I do believe the spearhead of breaking the back of the Zionist state is the truth about the USS Liberty.
I agree with you. I mean, let's elaborate, because the same problems we faced then, we face now even bigger.
Yes, absolutely. I always think, I go back and I think about LBJ was first, and then the USS Liberty, then on and on, Alex. And you're probably one of the smartest guys around, and I respect you and trust your vision and what you say. And what do you think? What is the best way for us to conduct ourselves going forward?
Well, I'm smart enough to know that I don't have all the answers, but I think what you're doing in Congress, what you're doing with the films, the books on air, this is an idea whose time has come. People weren't ready for this. They were very naive. So you've had to wait 59 years. And I think it's calling on the American people to understand that the same system in our government, the Israeli government, that were heavily involved killing JFK, getting us into all these other wars, using the same tricks, like a Gulf of Tonkin, that Israel's not going to give up dragging us into World War III with Iran and then Russia and others. And so it's really a life and death situation currently to expose what happened to the USS Liberty, even though in some court of law they're not going to get convicted. In the court of public opinion, they will, to then inoculate the public to understand the major threats we face now. I think what you've already said, the fact is it's you open with, look at them openly sabotaging the peace. Look at them dragging us into this war. Look at how it's killing the world economy. I mean, I think you've hit on it, is that we have to explain to people that this is the government, the regime, that's being used by our own deep state to control our government. And so this is a pertinent front burner issue right now. I think that's really the articulation that needs to be made.
Absolutely. You're absolutely correct. And for us to move forward with the USS Liberty, since we've broken the ice with Congressman Tom Massey, and God bless him for having us up there. And I might add that my partner, Ray Douster, that helped me with the book, great guy, great friend, and my son, Bryce, facilitated this by getting in front of it and getting a hold of Massey when the time was right. And it worked out beautifully. It was about as good as you could get. And I'm so glad you got my book, by the way. But there it is. Yes, sir.
Thank you.
I'm so happy you got it. You're welcome.
I'm going to read it. I'm going to read it.
Yes, it's a very good book. In fact, I've gotten some great reviews from even my own shipmate. Air shipmates. Larry Bowen was one of them.
Well, part of getting the truth out is people reading this book and watching the film we just showed a clip of. Where's the best place for people to get the book?
To get the book, the best place to get it, if you want a signed copy, is just go to philturneypodcast.com. You get a signed copy, or you can get it on Amazon. And if they're selling out, they're selling fast. So go get a book and learn the truth. And
good.
Book is
folks that already know the truth, get the book and give it to friends and family. You're the emissaries of the truth to stop the very same system from getting us into the same type of scam right now. So let's come back and go more into the attack, more into what came out, and then contemporarily what you think of the Israel lobby today, openly trying to take over the Pentagon, and not just that, even federal law enforcement. We'll be right back.
Inflation is up. That's an issue. So how does Berkshire handle that with its businesses?
Well, we can't handle runaway inflation except not to be there. But there are dozens and dozens of countries that have experienced it. And, of course, you have countries that have gone bankrupt like 6 or 7 times. I mean, not having faith in the money does to a country. It turns it into something else. Yeah. And I've always hoped that, U.S. never does it, but we are not immune from it happening.
Dollar collapse means we keep continuing on where we are. Dollar devalues. We've got massive inflation. You raise interest rates to slow that inflation down. So the implications of that are bond market is toast because the value of bonds, the price of bonds comes down as interest rates rise. The inverse is also true. When interest rates come down, the value of bonds goes up. So as you raise interest rates, the value of bonds comes down. Who's allocated into bonds? The bond market is way larger than the equity market, the stock market. So you've got pension funds, that are allocated into bonds, right? Anybody that's on a fixed income, banks are allocated into bonds. Consider this, an insurance company. Most insurance companies across the country are allocated about 90% into the bond market with their internal portfolios. What does an insurance company do? It pays beneficiaries when people die, right? So if the asset that they have to sell to pay those beneficiaries is coming down in price, this is going to have a cataclysmic effect on the insurance industry, on pension funds, on everything, and on the banking system.
And let's be clear, though, a dollar being the world currency is how we could just print it and buy whatever we wanted. If the world sees it like the Mexican peso or worse, we're screwed.
Yeah, because that was our get out of jail free card, right? We could print as much money as we want, and everybody around the world still needed the U.S. dollar. If you don't have reserve currency status like every other country, other than the one that has reserve currency status, when you print excessively, people no longer want your currency. Don't let the news scare you, but rather use the wisdom, the creativity that God gave you. Go into tangible assets that have zero counterparty risk. Silver was up over 140% last year. Since January 30th, when it corrected and it had a 50% correction, went down into the 60s, it's almost 90. Literally, since February, silver's up over 30%, Alex. So you can roll over your IRAs. You have an old 401k, roll that over. Your brokerage accounts, take delivery of it at home or store it at a depository. If you don't want to take delivery of it at home, we'll walk you through that, answer your questions, make sure that you feel comfortable with everything, because it's ultimately your decision. We're just here to help guide and go on this journey with you. 1,000-ounce bars of silver, 100-ounce bars, 10-ounce bars, or 1-ounce generic refinery rounds.
But then you can roll over the financial instruments, too.
1-ounce gold bars or kilo bars, IRAs. If it has IRA in the name, simple, SEP, Roth, traditional, inherited, we can do that. Or you can do just a brokerage account that you just wire as funds, and it's a non-IRA account.
Is it wholesale? And are they buying it back with no cost? No fee. This is the place to go. And we'll get into gold and silver as well. Dr. Kirk Elliott, KEPM.com/gold. That way they know it comes from us. So it supports the broadcast. KEPM.com/gold or 720-605-3900. 720-605-3900. Call and get a free consultation or sign up for email. They'll call you back. They can also roll over a lot of financial instruments. This is the place to go. KEPM.com/gold. So gold and silver is the way to go. The best investment the last 2+ years. And you just check the wholesale price every day. That's what you get it for. You sell it back. For no cost, nobody else of any size does that. That's real.
Days, weeks, and even years ahead of the news cycle. AlexJonesLive.com is tomorrow's news today.
From the front lines of the information war, it's Alex Jones.
All right, Phil Turney's our guest. I meant to ask him during the break, but it was still a bit longer. The next hour, we can open phones up for him. But we'll see how he feels at the end of the hour. But he sent me a bunch of really powerful slides that helped remind me of a lot of things. Because even though I've studied this, we forget a lot. Now, one of the slides, Admiral Thomas Moore, former chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, chaired an independent commission that concluded there was compelling evidence that the attack was deliberate and that the U.S. government covered up the true facts. And then, of course, we had them declassified in 2004. Then the Gulf of Tonkin, it never happened. But the ships came back to San Diego and was in the local paper. It became a rumor after that, but it was in the paper. No, we weren't attacked. It was staged. Well, LBJ was pissed about that. So this time, they actually set it up with their little gallant ally to attack it. But then it wouldn't sink. And imagine how embarrassing that was internally in the Navy. And then since then, and then all that went in to covering that up. So, head of the USS Liberty Survivors Association, author of Stay Afloat, from that day to today, 59 years to finally see some justice, at least in the public, come out. The attempts to suppress this have just, I mean, nobody knew about the Liberty 40, 50 years ago, very few. Then 30 years ago, some, 20 years ago, a lot, 10 years, but the internet, people learning about this. And now, with your book and these films and Congress and all of it, now that people are discovering what you lived through and then discovering all the subsequent crimes to cover things up, what is your gut level prediction? I mean, I only see this getting bigger in light of Israel trying to keep us in these wars because, again, it's all interconnected. And then tell us about Admiral Moore's commission?
Yeah, it was a Moore commission that he had generals and admirals look over it, and it was an independent investigation, and they came up with the fact that there's no way in God's green earth it was mistaken identity. And Admiral Moore has said over and over again, he wants the Congress to investigate it. His words went silent. Now, this is an admiral that served in, you know, the Atlantic Fleet and the Pacific Fleet, not at the same time, but supreme commander. He became chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff. When he tells you something, you should listen. And by the way, he told me, Phil, he says, during the Yom Kippur War, I was told by Israeli ambassador that they needed this, they needed that, to have it ready. He says, I can't do that without authorization from Congress. The ambassador told him, don't worry about Congress. I'll take care of them. Just load the wagon. So that's how powerful this AIPAC Congress is. And regrettably, our AIPAC president that has covered up everything from day one since he got into office. You know, I thought everything was going to be different with him, but I was wrong.
And I want to speak. I'm going to speak more to that in a moment. But just back that up. That image of Captain McGonagall. Talk about what a great guy he was, and some of the attack. But I want to go back to this because if Israel was telling one of the top commanders in the U.S. military, later to be the chairman of joint, don't worry about Congress. We got them covered. We own them. I mean, obviously, Israel wasn't even known had that power back then. Now we know they did. Now it's way greater, and now they brag they own us. I mean, just the arrogance of this. Well, let's cover Israel now and then get back to Captain McGonagall and what he thought about this, and obviously wish he was still here today. But I mean, obviously, you agree with me that Israel's power over us is much greater than it was then?
It is a million times more powerful. If they could get by with murdering Americans on the high seas, they can get by with anything, and that's what they're doing right now. So the American public has got to understand and know, and I see it happening every day, and I'm sure you do too, that they're starting to wake up because we're not built to be genocidal maniacs like Israel is. And the people are worried, and they're frightened for other people's lives. At least I am, and many others in Gaza and Lebanon and what they're doing. But it's just, Alex, it's mind-boggling. I walked the halls of Congress last December, and I did talk to Massey in the elevator and gave him the Ward Boston Declaration. But every other person I talked to or tried to was offended if I talked about the USS Liberty. And, you know, it's all in my book. It's a memoir of sorts. And if you really want to find out the truth, that's where it's at. But I was surprised that all the Israeli flags I saw in the halls of Congress, it almost made me want to throw up. And it's just nothing's changed. It's worse. It's getting worse by the moment. And I'm afraid about what's going to happen in the future. Maybe today, tomorrow, whenever Israel says for America to jump, I still think they're going to jump. I think Netanyahu and Epstein's got them all wrapped up.
And then now Trump on the surface is saying, oh, Netanyahu keeps the war going. It's his fault, looking for an off-ramp. I mean, I hope that's for real from Trump. But a microcosm of this is political correctness. You have Austin Metcalf stabbed to death for no reason. And then it turned out, because they did this, they gave an award at the graduation ceremony to Carmelo Anthony and gave him his diploma and then basically said nice things about him. And they knew that was so the family said, hey, will you say something nice about our son in remembering him? And the school said, no, your son will not be mentioned. So he's a guy that's murdered. He can't be mentioned. And now the convicted killer is a hero. And so for you guys, you're attacked, your buddies die, you go through all this, you're threatened, you know the truth, it comes out, and then you're there and there's Israeli flags everywhere and people act like you've done something. It's just upside down world.
It is an upside down world. And how did we get there? You know, it's you know, I was all in favor of Israel, even during the attack, because we didn't know who was attacking us. It was unmarked jet aircraft. We thought it was the Arabs doing it. But we didn't find out who was attacking us until the torpedo boats got there. And we thought, oh, here they're coming to help us. Thank God. And no, they weren't there to help us. They were going to murder the rest of us. But they just couldn't get the job done. With a 25-minute attack or more from the air and an hour and a half of torpedo boats strafing, burning, shooting our firefighters and everybody, and I was part of that crew. But that wasn't it. They brought over troop-carrying helicopters, Alex, to finish the job. They were going to scuttle the ship, kill us all, scuttle the ship, and still blame it on the Arab states. And us not sinking was a miracle, and we all knew it.
That was another question. Why the helicopters with the Marines, if I remember correctly, why did they not go ahead and carry out the attack at the end there?
I believe, and I think most of my crewmates believe, they confessed too fast that they mistakenly attacked a flagged American ship. If they had just waited, not said anything to anybody, they could have went ahead and finished this off easy. But they got caught with a message that was sent out, and they said, yeah, it was us, but they didn't figure that would ever happen. I mean, how could this old ship, a World War II victory hull ship, with 294 souls aboard, turned into the most sophisticated spy ship in the world, withstand what we withstood, over 850 cannon rocket holes, over 5,000 armor-piercing bullets, napalm burning stuff, 40-by-40-foot hole torpedo side the ship. And we didn't sink. It's a miracle. By the grace of God.
And then it came out, because I remember being told this by the admirals and people before they died, that indeed they had nukes in the air. They were getting ready to use the strike on you guys as the pretext to just start a war. And they believe the Russians, this is Operation Northwoods 2.0, that plan was to attack Cuba, attack our bases first, say Cuba did it, attack inside the U.S. and Cuba did it, to lure the Russians into full war. But by the grace of God, Kennedy saw through that, shut that down, so they killed him. But, if they'd have sunk you guys, we probably would have a totally different history right now. I do think the hand of God was on that ship. Is that what you're saying?
Yes, sir, absolutely, Alex. The hand of God was on that ship today, and it's the hand of God is still on us survivors right now that are speaking out. Listen, we don't leave. I mean, 34 young men, beautiful young men. We were only 20, 19, 21-year-old kids, and they lost their lives that day. And we survived. And it's been my mission for the last 43 years since I've been speaking about this, and I haven't shut up since. Those men deserved a life. They deserved to get married, have a family, have grandkids, live a life. But no, they were slaughtered by the Zionist State of Israel. And our government paid them billions of dollars for doing it. They're still paying them billions of dollars for murdering Americans. I'm not just talking about the War of the Liberty. I'm talking about all the wars in the Middle East.
Yeah, well, look at 9/11. Look at 9/11. That's the same thing. So to talk about the captain, because he didn't last as long as a lot of you guys, but I heard he was quite the hero. And when he was alive, what was his view of the situation?
Captain McGonigal, he was our skipper. He was a commander at that time, E-5 or O-5. And he made Fulbert captain after the attack. He was a great man, a great leader, and a friend. And he went through a lot in his life. But Captain McGonigal finally confessed that he didn't think it was a mistaken identity. Now, you can imagine the pressure they put on him, just the pressure they put on a little old E4 like me. But he ended up getting the Medal of Honor and got a brand new ship and retired as a captain. And we all love the captain, but we understand the pressure he was under. It had to be enormous. You know what they did to the Pueblo skipper, Hooker. They blamed him for everything, but it wasn't his fault.
Well, going back then, you mentioned two of the admirals covering up early on, but correct me if I'm wrong, one of them ended up being the one that gave the information when he died that helped expose all this. So it shows they're following orders, but then at the end, they tended to tell the truth.
The truth that comes out, like Ward Boston and Kidd, that the truth came out. But that was years later, and nothing really happened over that either. I mean, it was ignored by the Congress. You know, you write to Congress, and they tell you there's already been an investigation, 4, 5, or 10 of them. There's never been one investigation. They're all a bunch of liars.
And let's be clear what's happening. You got guys that are Christian, and they're getting ready to die, and they don't want to go to hell, and they're thinking, I got to get this off my chest. And those are the top guys that were there running the cover-up, and they supposedly have no credibility.
Right, absolutely. No credibility because it didn't matter. They got scammed or told by President Johnson, you better do it or else. And so they did. But you're right. They didn't want to go to hell with that on their conscience. But I wish it had come out a heck of a lot sooner than what they did, because it could have made a little bit of difference in our lives, in the lives of all Americans, with the truth about the USS Liberty.
Well, you asked me the question, I'll ask it back at you. I'm certainly not Carnac the Magnificent. What do you think needs to happen now to move the ball, which is moving really fast? There's a lot of momentum now. What do you think needs to happen?
We've got to cut off all ties with the Zionist state. They're nothing but a pariah on the American public. They have been forever. So it's time we cut the ties and get them away from us. Quit giving them money. Quit giving anybody that wants money from the United States of America. We're going to take care of our own citizens, no other. Fix our infrastructure. Take care of our veterans. Treat each other like God wants us to. Love your neighbor instead of hating each other. This country's divided as much as it ever was with Trump in office right now. Same thing when the rest of them were in office, Biden, the last president, but the country was divided. So we cut ties with Israel, get rid of Netanyahu and his garbage and his people around him and the people in Congress. Those are the people that irk me the most. And as you said, they brag about it, you know, that they flaunt it. Yeah, we take money from them. They're our greatest ally. We need them for what? They've never done anything for us. But take our money and have our young soldiers killed in war for them. So I say, screw them and screw their government. I want nothing to do with them. This isn't a Jewish thing. This isn't about all Jews. This is about the Zionist state of Israel. And there's a lot of Jewish people that dislike that, what they're doing over there now, and have disliked it for a long time. So it's time for America to wake up.
Well, that's right. Netanyahu hides behind Judaism, and then they twist the Bible and say, follow whatever I say, you're going to hell, and the Bible doesn't even say that. It's preposterous.
It is preposterous, and it makes people look like we're a bunch of dummies, and we're not a bunch of dummies. We're here telling the truth. And the American people eat it up. But now they see with what's going on in Gaza and Lebanon, the savagery, the killing, the sniping of young children getting water. And I've seen some of those images, and I can't get them out of my mind, Alex. And it's disgusting. It's inhumane. And the same images I saw aboard the USS Liberty, young men blown to bits. When that torpedo exploded, it blew those men completely to bits. When we got into Malta, the CTs went down, the spies, they wouldn't let us go down there, the ship's company, because it was secret. And they had to peel the pieces of those bodies out and put them in bags and try to figure out who they are. We got a mass grave in Arlington that has our mates there that they couldn't identify. Is it really all them? I hope it is. It's pieces of them, but at least they got memorialized in Arlington, and we go there quite often to give thanks for their sacrifice, and that's what this is all about, is their sacrifice and America's sacrifice. And I'm here to tell you that get us in front of Congress and let us testify. If you think we're liars, put us in prison for the rest of our lives if you can prove we're lying. And I'm telling that to all of Congress, especially Randy Fine and Crenshaw and the rest of the AIPAC flunkies in the Congress. Help us instead of helping Israel. Help us heal. Help America heal. But they won't do that. They won't give us that. Alex, why won't they give it to us? Because Netanyahu and his back to Levi Askel, the one that cohorted with LBJ, that freaking snake, to kill us all. That is that what our lives are worth, to be sacrificial lambs for the government of Israel? I don't think so.
Well, a lot, you know, Israel's gotten so much power now that they're the most unpopular country in the world. The whole world's turning against them. When they try to say, oh, are you for the radical Muslims? No, we're not for that. We didn't create Hamas like Israel or fund them or stand on October 7th or put the head of Al-Qaeda along with Turkey in charge of Syria 2 years ago. No, no, we know Israel is way more sophisticated than even the general public does, but more and more the public gets it. Israel's moved on now from just blowing up ships to blame somebody else. Now they literally fund and finance the Islamic terror groups. They don't run them, but they finance them. And then when they attack, they use that as a pretext to attack and blow up 30,000+ homes, conservatively, of Christians in Lebanon. And just 6 months ago, Israel said, oh, that's a conspiracy theory. We're not going to take southern Lebanon. Now they've blown all the bridges up, blown up all the churches, and they say, yeah, we're taking it, and we're never pulling out. They told Trump, no, we're not leaving. So now Israel's going to take Christian Lebanon. I mean, this is just, now they're taking, they've burned out the last Christian settlements in the West Bank.
I saw that, and I can't believe that, well, I can believe they did it because they don't care about human life, especially Christian lives. And you see how they've mocked Mother Mary. You know, it's disgusting. And I'm a Christian, and I believe in my Savior, Jesus Christ. For them to mock Christians anywhere in the world and then slaughter them in the meantime, that's our money. That's our bombs. That's our airplanes. America is not a society of genocidal maniacs. But look where we're at.
Yeah, and people that know, this is not even Gaza, which I knew there was some bad guys. You don't kill everybody to do that. This is southern Lebanon, the most Christian areas, including famous Christian churches that they had to admit did not have Hezbollah hiding in them. They're just vaporizing everything. Cluster bombs, carpet bombing. There's time-lapse and satellite photos now. That was a couple weeks ago. 34,000 Christian homes estimated destroyed.
Oh, my God. I didn't know it was that many, Alex, but I'm not surprised. Look what they did in Gaza. I mean, it's flat as a pancake.
Well, yeah, you were a Navy guy and a tough guy, and it was rough seeing your buddies blown to bits and everybody getting the captain, you know, tying his leg on and guts in. But imagine, these are just kids and women and children, and they don't even tell them. Sometimes they blow up entire apartment buildings to get, quote, one bad guy. And Trump reportedly told Netanyahu, how dare you blow up a whole building for one bad guy? And then Netanyahu admitted that conversation happened. Do you think Trump's doing that to look good, or do you think Trump actually now realizes he was set up by Israel?
Well, I think right now, with what happened yesterday with the bombing in Beirut, I think that he got set up, and his handlers and President Trump probably said, hey, that's enough. We got to stop. And Netanyahu, everybody heard it. He doesn't care what America says or what America does. He's not going to abide by it. He said, we don't need America. Well, I believe they do need America.
I agree.
But we don't need them.
Absolutely. Go back to that last cloud. That was a few days ago. That's probably that multiple 2,000-pound bombs dropped on residential Christian areas, folks. I mean, that's from miles away. Look at the power of that. And we're, by the way, you're paying for that. I'm paying for that, folks. Like, Christians don't want to pay for abortion. I agree. I'm a Christian. Well, you're paying for abortion right here for men, women, and children. If you've got to go, Phil, I totally understand. Or would you like to ride shotgun another 20, 30 minutes to take calls? If you're busy, you got another appointment.
No, I'd like to stay with you as long as you want me, Alex. I've never had such a good time telling about such a bad story. But thank you so much for having me on. Yeah, I'll stick around.
Thank you. Well, it's medicine to stop what's happening now, because you know, it's we have to do this. And like you said, as long as we have some hard on for Israel, we're doing this. Israel decided to be a villain. It's been going on a while. Now they're doing it in front of everybody. So thank you so much. I'm going to give the number out specifically for the USS Liberty subject, your questions for the head of their Survivors Association, Phil Turney. Nobody steadfastly more than him continued to hammer this. I first heard this guy interviewed like 30 years ago, probably got him on like 25 years ago, interviewed him a few times since then. But feel like I know him because I see him on so many other shows. And now he's really taken to the next level. So we're going to open the phones up right now here on the Alex Jones Network. And the number to join us we'll put on screen. And we will take your questions for him, 512-266-0642, 512-266-0642, 512-266-0642. Briefly, I'm funding this operation with your support. So we have the very best supplements, widest selection of Patriot apparel, and the very best water filtration systems with the highest quality filters that cut out all the garbage, all the forever chemicals to non-detectable levels. Can't legally say to zero because the spectrometer just says non-detectable, but it's as good as it gets. The nicest stainless steel at the lowest price. And we also got a bunch of 250th anniversary America's birthday designs from Big Lee that are gorgeous. I think they're some of the best shirts they've ever made. They're limited edition. We're just selling them through the month of June and July. They're 30% off right now at thealexjonesstore.com. And that's how we're funded. We're not funded by the Israelis or the Iranians or the Republicans or anything. We're funded by you at thealexjonesstore.com. Thanks for standing with us as we try to promote freedom and justice and stop a new world war, which the Israelis and others want. We'll be right back with hour number four with our special guest, Phil Turney, and your phone calls. Stay with us back in 2 minutes. Thank you, Phil.
Your arm been hacked off by a homeless person with a samurai sword? Try Shilajit gummies today.
A guy in Venice Beach just got his arm nearly hacked off by some tweaker with a samurai sword. And as of 4:15, he is still on the loose. And seemingly, the reaction from our local government is basically like, oh, shit, like, these things just happen. Like, this is our new normal. That, dude. I want to live in an LA that is safe to go out, where I don't have to worry about walking around and getting my arm hacked off by some tweaker looking for drugs.
Sorry, I ate a Shilajit gummy. Sorry, I thought I could finish it before that clip was over. You caught me. Shilajit gummies, folks. We're not joking. They're very good. Shilajit gummies. Are you a leftist idiot that thinks it's normal that men get their arms chopped off with swords when trying to go to the beach? In California, Shilajit gummies are for you. Consumers of Shilajit gummies, they know places to avoid. If you want to avoid having your arm nearly cut off by a sword in Venice Beach, California, you need to be taking Shilajit gummies today. I do love these things. They are really delicious, but they really do give you a kick. And you only get to take one. That is the worst part of Shilajit gummies, is you want to take multiple, but you're only supposed to take one. You can take more if you want. Also, I love the Modern World Survival Stack. A massive discount if you get three products together. It's the Shilajit capsules, the Atomic Defense, and the Sea Moss capsules, which are packed with vitamins, minerals to support overall wellness, thyroid health, and immune function. The Atomic Defense is for daily defense and cellular support, while Shilajit capsules support natural energy, stamina, and daily vitality. Get one or all of them now at thealexjonesstore.com. Share the links at alexjoneslive.com and on Rumble at thealexjonesshowlive.com. Shilajit gummies.
Days, weeks, and even years ahead of the news cycle, AlexJonesLive.com is tomorrow's news today.